From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Perverting the Privileges of God's Grace. In verses 17 through 29 of Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul explained the privileges enjoyed by the people of Israel. Yet Paul also shows how Israel abused those privileges, for they came to regard outward religious observance as equal with acceptance by God, ignoring the righteousness which alone could give them a right standing before God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Although they knew the truth of God in their heads, they had no heart experience of Christ. As Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 9, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Mere intellectual assent to the gospel is not enough. In addition, the Jews' reliance on the law for salvation affected those around them, producing a deadly attitude of self-confidence. How many people have been led astray by the example of friends or loved ones who rested in their own righteousness for deliverance from hell? We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, One with Christ Jesus. The text is found in John chapter 14 and verse 19. The words of Christ Himself, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Jesus has made the life of believers in Him as certain as His own. As sure as the head lives, the members live also. If Jesus has not risen from the dead, then we are dead in our sins. But since He has risen, all believers are risen in Him. His death has put away our transgressions and loosed the bonds which held us under the death sentence. His resurrection proves our justification. We are absolved, and mercy says, "The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Jesus has made the life of His people as eternal as His own. How can they die as long as He lives, seeing they are one with Him? Because He dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over Him, so they shall no more return to the graves of their old sins, but shall live unto the Lord in newness of life. O believer, when under great temptation thou fearest that thou shalt one day fall by the hand of the enemy, let this reassure thee. Thou shalt never lose thy spiritual life, for it is hid with Christ in God. Thou dost not doubt the immortality of thy Lord. Therefore, do not think that He will let thee die, since thou art one with Him. The argument for thy life is His life, and of that thou canst have no fear. Wherefore, rest in the living Lord.
In the Lord, I will say it again, rejoice.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Speaking to these people about their perversion of these privileges, he's saying, you have possession of the law. Sure. But where's the performance of it? He emphasized in the passage we were dealing with last week that they were hearers of the law, but they were not doers. They had lip service, but they did not have life service. They had head knowledge, but they had no heart experience of the things of which they spoke. Again, I want us to lift it out of first century Jewry into 21st century Christianity. Are you here tonight with a head knowledge but without any heart involvement with Jesus Christ? I find Christians, in fact, I've never found a true Christian of whom this is not true, Christians lamenting that their heart is not what they want it to be and where they want it to be. Oh, for grace to love Him more. That is the cry of a Christian's heart. And I am not here tonight to cause Christians who already yearn for a heart that burns more for Christ to doubt salvation because their heart is not perfect. But I find that there are many in the church. Let me take a step aside here when I say many. When I hear the pastor of one of the largest churches in the world saying that he reckoned in his all supposedly born again membership of the church, he reckoned that 85% or more of them were still in their sins. You see why I say many in the church. Have no heart at all. No yearning. No love for Jesus Christ. And when I say if you have no heart for Christ, you're not saved, I am not introducing some new doctrine. The Apostle Paul said to a professing bunch of believers, or a bunch of professing believers, he said, 1 Corinthians 16, he says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And it's easy for us to say anathema means cursed. Oh, it does. But the idea comes from the Old Testament sacrificial system, and it paints an awful picture. It means that which is devoted to God for the burning fire of His wrath. If any man knows not the Bible, doesn't say that. Doesn't take a lot of knowledge to become a Christian. Don't misunderstand that statement or run the wrong way with it. I'm simply saying that people can get saved having heard the basics of the gospel even once. So it's not he who does not have a great knowledge, he who cannot find his way through Calvin's Institutes, he who, you can go down the line, doesn't say any of those things. What it says is, if you love not the Lord Jesus, you may have a head knowledge, you may possess the law, but you've perverted the privilege to your own destruction. Paul is criticizing these people for perverting grace by reliance on the law without righteousness. It's amazing the views that the Jews held, but no more amazing when you think of some of the things that are held in Christendom today. Charles Hodge quoted from some of the ancient Jewish authorities. With views like these, our rabbins have said, no circumcised soul will see hell. No circumcised man will see hell. Again, circumcision saves from hell. Another Jewish authority, God swore to Abraham that no one who was circumcised should be sent to hell. And yet another, Abraham sits at the gate of hell and does not allow that any circumcised Israelite should enter there. These were the views that Paul was combating. There was a reliance on the law and its ritual, but there was no righteousness of life. Now cast your mind back over what we were considering in weeks past, where the emphasis would be on God judging every man according to his works. Men are not saved by works. I took time to try and point out how Paul was very careful in his language. When he speaks of works producing anything, it's condemnation. Men are not saved by their works. But understand this, if men are saved by grace through faith, God's Holy Spirit will produce works of holiness in their lives. Works of genuine righteousness. And while it is true that you are saved by faith without works, you will never go to heaven if there are no works that prove the genuine reality of saving grace. These people had a system, but they had no Savior. They had no salvation. These people had the externals, but nothing in the internals. Thus they were boasting in God, but there was no basis for their boasting. There was confidence, but there was no basis for their confidence. There was presumption. If there's one thing that I believe, that I detect, and it's a very widespread spiritual malady, if there's one thing I believe that I detect today in church after church after church, it is the sin of presumption. It is amazing when you see people who can glibly tell you they're Christian, they're going to heaven. They can just slough off any gospel witness that's given to them. They put up the defense just as these Jews did. They have all the privileges, and they pervert those privileges to bask in the light that they have, even though it has produced no light in their lives. Men and women, I'm here to tell you tonight, faith is not presumption, and presumption is not faith. Faith will lament how little we love and serve the Lord, but faith will always lead us to Christ, to a total commitment of ourselves to Him and confidence only in His precious blood, with a yearning to please Him and to serve Him. Presumption uses the promises of grace as a cloak for maliciousness, selfishness, and sin, to give us the confidence of the godly while we live ungodly. That's presumption. That's the perversion of the privileges that God has given. You see that Paul here gives us an insight into the products of this perversion of the privileges of grace. Time does not allow me to go into it in detail, and I don't want to come back to it a second week because though we're making some progress, I have a long way to go in the time available to me to get through this book. What I'm saying here is, when people individually pervert the privileges that God gives them by placing them in association with His church and with the preaching of His truth, they not only destroy their own souls, but they have effects that ripple and keep on rippling to curse the souls of others. Watch it carefully, verses 18 through 20. says he starts with themselves. First product is a sinful self-confidence. Sinful self-confidence. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I want to tell you this is something that haunts me. I know what it is to battle lack of assurance. I know what it is to have no confidence and to swing between certainty and no certainty until I felt I was losing my senses. I know what it is to be brought to confidence in Christ and the assurance of His Word. But one thing that haunts me is this: I am going to stand before God very soon. And so are you. So are you. It's very easy for me to address people who profess to be Christians and just accept you all are Christians, without ever doing the hard work that Paul was doing here of seeking to penetrate to the depths of the heart and to show that if you have the name but not the nature, the possession of God's Word but not the performance of it, a reliance on God's law but not the righteousness of it, you're boasting in God but without a basis, then your confidence itself is sin. You read this: you rest in the law. Can you see that? Here are people with the sword of God's judgment according to His law suspended over their head, and they are resting in the very law that is going to damn them to the deepest hell. They're resting in the law. You talk about sleeping on the edge of a volcano. You talk about going to sleep when you're in urgent and terrible danger. You're resting, untroubled in conscience. You know, I'll let you into a secret. And this is one thing in some ways I would like to avoid. In other ways I can see the wisdom of God in allowing it. When I preach a message like this, almost every soul that's disturbed is a genuinely saved soul. And all around him sit people within a heartbeat of hell. And such is their sinful self-confidence, they're unfazed, unmoved, and uncaring.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info at faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.